if you were really sharp from last week, you'd know we played that song last week.
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to have 10 people ask me, why'd you do that again?
Well, now some of you heard what I'm about to say a couple of weeks ago in your Sunday school lesson, so just smile when you hear it over again. But there was a little story in our Sunday school lesson that started out a couple of weeks ago that said three guys were out hunting. A doctor, a lawyer, and a pastor. As they were out hunting, a big old monarch deer gets up with points all over the place, and he takes off. All three of the guys got up, shot their rifles at the same time, and the deer fell. All three of them at the same time, in harmony, said, I got him! So a little argument started, back and forth. I got him. No, you didn't. I got him. No, I got him. About that time, a game warden showed up. Game warden walked over to the deer, looked at it, and he said, I know who killed that deer. And they said, who? The preacher. How do you know the preacher got it? Because the bullet went in one ear and out the other. So we played the song again. I'm going to preach the message over again just to see. No, I'm just kidding. You got your Bibles, open them up to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Actually, the reason I had Miss Debbie play it over again, actually the same verses are found in chapter 43 as what we read last week about when Jesus comes back and sets up his reign in the kingdom of God, environmentally and geographically, the world will change. There'll be roads in the wilderness, and there'll be rivers in the desert. And then the Bible said there won't be deserts for long. With the water springing up, so will plants and grass and all kinds of things. What's the kingdom of God going to be like? I'm not sure. But when we read chapter 43, the Lord is trying to encourage Israel. And Israel in captivity, he's fixing to share with them and remind them of some things. He said, first of all, guys, I want you to know I created you. Without me, you would not be a nation. He also said, and by the way, I call my children by my name. He goes on to tell them that, remember when you came to the sea and I parted it. Remember when you walked through the fire and I kept you from being burned. He was reminding them of all the protection and his hand was upon them. Now that covered a lot of years. Those two things I just mentioned. One was when they first were delivered out of Egypt. The other was when the three Hebrew children were in the fire. When they came out, they had not even, their clothes didn't even smell like it was burned. He goes on and shares with them that he has loved them. He shares with them that I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring the exiles back to the land. But then he changes from the near future to the far future. And he tells them that there's going to come a day when I bring all my children back to the land from all the different nations. Now, by the way, that started back at the end of World War II when Israel became a nation. Ezekiel's dry bones started coming back together. I want to read this as he kind of culminates all this at the end, not quite to the end of the chapter, but he kind of puts something in the far future. Let me read it to you. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give them water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, and they shall declare my praise. Now, by the way, in all of that, he also said, told Israel, you should have been my witnesses. What? It didn't turn on? Okay. Now, I'm on the air. He said, you should be my witnesses. You should tell the world of what I've done. He sets them up. He tells them about the future. He tells them about the kingdom. And then when he gets to the close of the chapter, verse 22, I want you to look at it. Whew, this thing sounds rough. But, don't you hate buts? And this ain't a good one. Now, by the way, the other day the Lord directed me to this chapter in Isaiah, and I'm looking at it and I'm going, what am I going to preach on? This was directed directly at Israel. How in the world am I going to come up with something for the church today, Lord? What are you trying to show me in this passage? Well, notice verse 22. But you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought to me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. As I begin to look at those passages, I begin to think, what was God saying to the Israelites? You're my people. I created you. Without me, you wouldn't be around. Here's all the blessings I've given you. And you know, if I start to think about it, I can think about what God's done for the Christian, the church. How He's created us through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. When we trust in that, He regenerates us. He makes us a new creation in Him. We even have the name Christian. Now, by the way, that didn't start out as a compliment. That actually was a curse. Little Christ. But later on, it became a badge of honor. So we even have God's name in our lives. And just like He's got a future for Israel, praise the Lord, we'll be there with Him to rule and reign. Isn't that going to be awesome? I want to see what the world looks like when Jesus gets through with it, after sin has corrupted it for all these years. But guys, just like He gets to the but, unfortunately, just like Israel, we as Christians do some of the same things. We neglect our worship and praise to God sometimes. Do you ever go through the motions? Are you very sincere all the time when you say your blessings? I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I know it's something I need to do. I know it's a testimony to those around me, and so I'll do it. But my heart won't be in it. I just know I need to do it. I'm not trying to dishonor God, but I'm just neglecting the good. You know, we had a great Sunday school lesson this morning. By the way, if you're not in Sunday school, get there. Just had a great time, and we talked about what it means to pray, and we defined it. What is prayer? Well, it's communication. But there's another word in communication that we get the word communion. And that's deeper than just getting a point across to someone. Communion is that time where you really have something in common. The word fellowship has to do with having something in common. When it comes to communion, you got to have that fellowship with the Father. Amen? You've got to get down and realize who you're talking to, what He's done for you, and all the blessings that we have because He loves us. And not just go through that ritual prayer every time, but make it mean something every time. You've got the privilege of talking to God. Isn't that awesome? Man, just think if we still lived in the Old Testament. Let's just say Wesley got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. Oh, did he? Okay, I'm just checking. Maybe Wesley stomped his toe on the bed and said a cuss word. Now, I know Wesley wouldn't do that. I've been on many mission trips with Wesley. Well, let's just suppose he did and he said a bad word. Now, if he lived in the Old Testament, Wesley might have to get out and go get a lamb and take it down to the priests. And then Wesley'd have to put his hands on the horns and confess his sins over it. And that's transferring his sins to the animal. And then the priest would kill the animal and sacrifice the animal for his sin. Now, wouldn't that be a tough thing to have to do every time you messed up? Not to mention how expensive it'd get. But see, through Jesus Christ, our high priest, the Lamb of God, offered himself on the cross so that when we do mess up, we can go to him. And he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to go through somebody else. Jesus already made it possible that we can go to God, the Father, because of what he did. Isn't that awesome? Well, you know, you can be in church every Sunday and still neglect praise and worship. Have you ever tried to define worship? What does it really mean to worship God? Does it mean holding your hands up? Does it mean dancing? You know, my grandpa got kicked out of church for dancing. Well, they were throwing money, but we won't go there. Anyhow, does it mean jumping pews? Does it mean speaking in tongues? Does it have to be anything outwardly? You know, some people are just very quiet. They could be sitting here, not saying a word, not lifting their hands, not jumping pews, not dancing around, maybe not even singing, and still be worshiping the Lord. Because true worship takes place in the heart. Now, guys, I like it when you jump pews and stuff like that every once in a while, okay? I like to know that there's some visible things around. You say amen once in a while and lift your hands. That's okay. It's good. I want you to be able to do that in church and feel good. But also the person sitting back here not saying a word, praising the Lord too, ought to have that same ability and rights. But really what worship is realizing the worth of God and worship and praise Him for that worth. Not because he's done anything. That's where the praise comes in. By the way, praise is usually out loud. Praise. You know, used to in the Baptist church I was raised in, if somebody said something out loud and it wasn't amen, everybody would look. Guys, it is not against the law for you to praise God out loud. You can do it, all right? So if you want to, all right. Now, if you get too loud, I'll just escort you out, but that's okay. You know, we got to keep it in moderation there. But I want you to notice the next thing that you find in this passage, and it really scares me. And you have been weary of me, O Israel. Have you ever got bored with God? I know it's got to be true. Because you know, if we got the church roll out and we followed up on everybody whose name is on the church roll, we wouldn't have enough seats to hold them here. How come they're not in church? They should be here, right? Well, some of it is because some of them aren't saved. So you could be on a church roll and be a part of a church and not know Jesus Christ personally. Okay, that's possible. But some of them have gotten bored. Maybe they got caught up in life. Maybe it was problems and they dropped out of church for a while and then they got out of the habit. By the way, there are some good habits, okay? Coming to church is a really good habit to have, okay? I want you to work on that one if you don't have it. But if you drop out, it gets easy not to go back the next Sunday. And for long, they don't even think about church on Sunday. Well, that's what happened to the Israelites. There are a lot of times that God called them, created them, wanted them to be His people, but they didn't want to be His people. And sometimes we Christians do that. We neglect. Now, by the way, you can come to church every Sunday and still neglect your relationship with the Lord. Because your relationship with the Lord you have to work at. Doesn't happen automatically. Guys, I'm lazy. I am. I'm lazy. But you know some of you are too. If somebody will do it for me, then I won't do it. You know, I learned that as a pastor. In my last church, if I did the job, I didn't have any volunteers come in and do the job because I did the job. And after a while, I worked myself into a great job. I was so busy, I got burned out. And people will let you get burned out. They'll let you do just as much as you allow yourself. Why? Because we're kind of lazy. It comes to our relationship with the Lord, we could be lazy. Wouldn't you like it if all of a sudden you could just open up the top of your brain, pour in all the knowledge, all the spiritual, all of the getting strong in the Lord, just all in at one time, and you'd have it the next day? Wouldn't that be great? That would be great. We'd be strong believers who didn't waver, who didn't sin very much, who followed the Lord faithfully all the time, but it doesn't work that way. You see, you have to work at your relationship with the Lord. You got to study and read the Bible. Now, for some of us guys, that's hard. The great thing about it is now you can get it on tape. Oh, excuse me, CD. Man, you can go to the computer. My computer will read it for me. I have those lazy days where I don't feel like getting the Bible out and open up the page. I can just go on to Bible Gateway and plug in audio Bible, and I can even select what translation or the person who read it. So I can get it in the building King James accent. There's a guy there that's got an English accent. I can get him to say it for me, or I can get somebody else to read it to me, and they'll just read me chapter after chapter after chapter. Isn't that awesome? Guys, there's no excuse for not reading the Word of God. Whether you want to listen to it on tape or whether you want to read it yourself, there's no excuse. By the way, you can get it in any translation you want to. You can get it in the King James English. Our brother was teaching us about King James last year, or last week, and he's going to teach us about King James some more next week, I guess. How many of you like reading the King James Version? How many of you don't like reading the King James Version? You don't want to know why? First of all, the King James Version is a 12th grade reading level. Most of us aren't. No, I'm serious. It is keyed to a 12th grade reading level. Not to mention the King James uses words we don't use anymore. So it's really hard. But guys, praise the Lord, we live in a day where you can get any translation you want. For as close to the original as you want to as far away as it gets. I wouldn't suggest those, but they're there. I'm not going to say the message or anything like that, so I don't want to rub off on anyone. But that's not really a good translation, okay? But there are some good ones out there. So there's what else to grow? How do you grow? Prayer. How many of you like to pray? How many praise then? No, don't raise your hand. Come on. Guys, we love prayer. We know it's important. We know that we have a supernatural God who answers prayer, can get us out of any situation. The Scripture says He is able to answer far above what we ask or can even think to ask. And yet we don't pray. Not like we ought to. Have you ever tried that pray without ceasing? That's not easy. Okay. But that's part of our growth process. How about going through storms? How many of you like that? Raise your hand. Boy, I knew you were weird. Guys, I don't like going through difficulties. I'm lazy. I told you, I like things to flow. But guys, if you don't exercise your faith, it won't grow. If you don't go through difficult times and times that causes you to exercise that faith towards God, it's not going to increase. You see, going through difficulties. Now, I know somebody's going to say, Brother Terry, I thought all that stuff was sin. No, guys, it's because of sin that we have to go through difficulties. If you and I were still Adam and Eve before they fell, you wouldn't have to have difficulties. You'd already be mature. Listen to the Lord. Always do what He says. Never disrespect anybody, never do any sin. But we don't live in that world. We live in a world where it's nothing but sin. And I don't know about you, but again, sin has affected my brain. I have to hear it over and over again. I'm kind of like the game warden with a preacher. It goes in one ear and out the other. That means I got to hear it a lot of times for it to get stuck in the middle. You know, for us who don't have any brains, it don't slow up much. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we need that. All right. You know, one of the biggest things, and I think one of the toughest things about worship, turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 12. Man, the time is slipping away. That's okay. You got lunch here. Romans 12:1. I'll be looking for that sermon in a minute. Thank you. Romans 12:1. I hear pages still turning. That's why I write it down ahead of time. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if you've got some of the other translations, it'll be translated your reasonable worship. And be not conformed by this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible said the greatest sacrifice that we can offer God, or the greatest worship and praise that we can offer God, is ourselves. Now, by the way, this is not a dead sacrifice. He's not talking about going down to the altar and putting a lamb on it and draining its blood and burning it on the altar or anything like that. He's not telling us to do that. He says a living sacrifice. In other words, what God wants is me and you. Now, I don't know about you, but that's really hard. Because not only am I lazy, I'm stubborn. I know that's not you. But instead of letting God have control every day and me listening to Him and obey Him, I like to go my way. You know what? The favorite song of America, I've done it my way. God said one of the wonderful thing that you could do. And by the way, this is not a one-time thing. I wish this was. I wish I could dedicate my life to the Lord and I wouldn't have to do it again. It would just all be there. But I really believe this is something you have to do every day, maybe every few moments. Is say, Lord, I don't want to be in control of my life. I want you to be in control of my life. I want you to lead me wherever you want to lead me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. That's what it means to give yourself a living sacrifice to God. And he said, that's your reasonable worship. That's the very least you ought to give God, is yourself. Boy, that's tough. You know, it's real easy to preach. It's real hard to do. Sometimes the reason the word goes in one ear and out the other is, when it comes to the invitation at the end of the sermon, we're supposed to let God make a change in our life. We'll hear what the preacher says and go, you know, that sounds pretty good. I think I ought to really do that. It sounds like some great benefits if I do it. Maybe next week. You know, the Lord was telling Israel, you're not bringing me any sacrifices. You're not bringing me the fat to burn. He said, I didn't put heavy burdens on you. Now, by the way, if you look in the children of Israel, they didn't always stop doing sacrifices. Just like I said to begin with, sometimes in our blessings, they would make sacrifices. And the Lord would say, you know, guys, I don't love sacrifices. I don't want the outward. I want your heart. I want your heart. That's the most important place. Well, guys, let me ask you something. Do you love the Lord? Now, be careful before you say yes. Do you love the Lord? You know, one time Pharisees, Jesus already confounded the Sadducees, so the Pharisees says, well, you're going to give it a shot. So they got up to Jesus and they said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? Jesus said to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And he said the second great's like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus told his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Uh-oh. I don't like that part. I love the Lord and I love what he did for me, but you mean I got to do everything it says? Do you know most people don't even know what the Bible says? It's funny, people stand up and go, well, you know what? This is how I believe. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, I believe the Bible says just what I say. It doesn't. Most of the time, if the world says it's so, then you know the Bible pretty much says it isn't so. Guys, we really need to know what the Bible says. God has not given us a book of do's and don'ts and just to make your life miserable. I thought that's why God gave me parents. I really did. When I was growing up, I thought they were there to make my life miserable. If you've got any kids, you might be saying the very opposite. God gave me them kids to make my life miserable. No. You know, when I was younger, I thought that about my parents. But now that I'm older, I know that my parents cared about me. Did they always get it right? No. Were they always right? No. Was I usually right? No. I thought it was, but we won't go there. You know, we look at the Bible sometimes, and we go, why is God doing it? He just don't want us to have any fun. Really and truly, the opposite is the truth. God wants you to enjoy life. And he wants you to enjoy it to the fullest, but he wants you to enjoy it the way he intended for you to enjoy it. Not what sin has done to you, not what the world thinks is right, not what the devil and his demons are trying to tell us is right, but what God says is the right way to do it. I don't know if you've ever noticed that when you really get to obeying God and following him in his word, it does bring a happiness the world can't bring. It brings a joy. It brings a peace that the world doesn't know about. Guys, sometimes we're just like Israel. Let's turn back there for a minute and look. Sometimes we have to remember. You know what I want a church full of people that have the attitude is, I'm not ever going to get over Jesus. Did you catch that? I want a church full of people who believe in their heart they're never going to get over what Jesus has done for them. You know, if you've got that kind of attitude and you realize what Jesus has done for you, we're not going to have to tell you to worship God. It's just going to come automatic. We're not going to have to tell you you need to study God's Word because that's going to come automatic. You're going to really want to do that. Don't ever get over what Jesus has done for you. Don't get bored. Don't neglect. Remember what the Lord has done in your life. Notice that very bottom part. Now, I know Israel didn't catch this, but praise the Lord, we did. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my sake. And I will not remember your sins. Wow. Okay. You know, I once heard somebody say that he puts our sin in the ocean and never brings it up or remembers it again. It's gone. Got a loose joint somewhere. My hair going over the microphone. Uh-oh, I need to get a haircut. Guys, when the scripture puts a but in, as it did in 43, it was a reminder of something and it's a reminder of us. Where do you stand with the Lord? Have you neglected your relationship with Him? Have you gotten bored of the Lord and gone different directions? Do you really have a lack of worship? Is there disobedience in your heart? Now guys, he doesn't mention all the sins, but I want you to notice what he says down at the bottom. He said, "But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities." The Scriptures tell us that after becoming a believer, that we have the responsibility of walking with the Lord. Okay, there's demons in my... All right, we're doing away with it, Mike. Sorry. We'll have to fix that thing. We're supposed to keep ourselves holy as He's holy. I don't know about you, but for a lot of years, my life was walking the edge. See how close I could stay to the edge without falling over one way or the other. We call them fence straddlers, which if you come from cattle companies, not fun because that's barbed wire. You need to fall one way or the other, but not stay up on that stuff, all right? Guys, that's not where God wants our lives. He didn't want us to see how far we can get our foot in the world without being part of the world. He wants us to live a life like He lived that's different from the world. Guys, the world needs to see something different. I believe we're headed into end times, and the end times are going to be bad. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't want to lie to you. The end times are going to be bad. You say, "Brother Terry, we're going to the rapture. That means we're going to miss the tribulations." Let me ask you something. How bad is it going to get before the tribulations start? Because you know the introduction of the Antichrist is one who comes in and brings peace. Supposedly. He conquers with a bow without an arrow. He'll be one of those used car salesman kind of guys. I hope you're not a used car salesman here or nothing, but. Politician. Guys, that tells me that's going to get pretty serious before he gets here and gets it all laid out. How bad is it going to get for the believer? How bad is it going to get in the world? You know, have you found much about America in prophecy? It ain't there. So what happens to America before the end time? Well, we could be just one of those insignificant countries and it just doesn't mention us. Or we might belong to another country by then. Who knows? I don't know. All I know is, as a follower of Christ, Christ said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll help you through anything." But he says, "Guys, don't neglect me. Don't get bored of me. Don't forget to worship and praise." I love Hebrews that talks about the praise with our mouth, our lips, and our tongues. We're to praise Him. That's worship to God. He wants us to worship Him. And guys, we're to keep ourselves unspotted. James said something one time, I'm sure, that really shocked the church in his days. He said, "Let me tell you what real religion is. It's taking care of the widows. It's taking care of the orphans. And it's keeping yourself unspotted for the world." I like the first two, but that last one's kind of tough. And by the way, when the Scriptures talk about widow and orphans, it's not talking about people who've got the family. It's talking about people who are real widows and real orphans. We're to care for those who can't care for themselves, in other words. But we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We're to look different. You might say, "Brother, I can't do it." Yeah, let me read you one thing. I know you can't. I'm glad that's the reason we got Jesus. "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think." Did you catch that? "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." I think what he's asking is, if I ask him to help me, he can do it. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now, and I want to lift up, there may be some here this morning has never trusted you as Lord and Savior. In this group, I know there's probably quite a few people who've never made that decision. Lord, we can't have any of the benefits or any of the privileges or all the things of being called by your name and being your people without knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It starts with a relationship with Him. The Bible said the only way we can have that relationship is to realize that we're a sinner and that we're separated from you, God, because of our sin. And yet the Bible said you love me so much at the perfect time, you sent your Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And you offer that forgiveness of sins, and that relationship is a free gift. Bible said we just have to trust in who Jesus is and what he did for us. Lord, if there's someone here that has never made that decision, in just a moment we give an invitation, I'll be standing down front to receive them as they come forward. We'll share with them how they can know you as Lord and Savior. Father, some of us are like the children of Israel. You've called us, you've loved us, you've watched out for us, and yet we've got to the point where we've neglected our relationship with you. Or maybe even we got bored. Or maybe it's the sin in our lives that's keeping us from being close to you. You desire that close relationship back again. Father, the altars are open right now. Lord, help us never neglect our relationship with you. Help us to never get over who you are and what you've done for us. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.